I want to begin with the scripture, because if we get cut off, and I really feel like these scriptures are what I want to give to us this morning, and then I'll talk around them a little bit and speak into some of these scriptures. But so I've been in about three different places in my own kind of devotional life, and so I want to kind of touch in each of these areas, each of these parts of the Bible. So I'll start in Ecclesiastes, and I'll just you can follow along. I'm gonna go rather quickly through this, and then I wanted to mention before I begin in Ecclesiastes, I wanted to sort of, I don't know if you can, I know I like the Jewish people have a blessing for everything. Well, I think there's something about dedicating. I remember one time I felt like I was in a place where I was holding someone in my heart and I really wanted to honor them. And so I said, I'm going to preach in honor of this person. You know, I'm just going to preach and just give it my all, even though I'd rather be somewhere else, namely with that person, you know, than preaching. And so this morning, I want to do this message. I want to preach in honor of a brother by the name of James Coates, Pastor James Coates, who's in jail right now in Edmonton, Alberta. And I want to preach this morning in honor of this man who's in jail because he refuses to stop preaching. And he refuses. He says if they let him out of jail, he's going to go back. He's going to open the. He's going to go back, and he's going to preach. He's going to preach in his church. And so I want to preach this in honor of him and his wife, his lovely wife. She's been interviewed. I don't know. I hope some of you have been tracking his story. But I read this scripture, and I never read this scripture before like this. But listen to this and see if it doesn't ring a little bit truer in light of this brother. And I want you to feel some of the weight of this. This is historic for our nation. It really is. Now, I think, as I say that, I remember our brother Ernie McWilliams was jailed for preaching in Quebec many, many years ago. Some of you remember the McWilliams. So I guess it's not unprecedented, but in this day and age, it is unprecedented. Right now, as we sit in the comfort of our homes and in the comfort of this place, a brother sits in jail. And so I want to just honor him this morning. Listen to this scripture. I'm looking over here. Our printer wasn't working this morning, so I'm kind of trying to do something off of another laptop. So if I turn my head, just bear with me. But listen to this scripture, Philippians 1:14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. My word this year is courage, but I've never read that scripture quite like this before, because I want to tell you, this brother's gotten, there's a famous pastor, if I said his name, you'd know his name in the States, who sent him a letter and said, I'm proud of you, you know, to this brother in Edmonton. And so when I read this, I thought, listen to this again. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Isn't that precious? So I want to pray for this man, for his wife, and for their children. And I want you to join with me as we just pray over him. Father, we pray for James, Lord. We pray for James Coates and his wife, Lord, and their precious children. And we pray, Lord, that you would cover them, Lord. We thank you for the courage and the Lord, just the stand that he's taken, Lord, for you, because of his, by virtue of his conscience and his heart for you, Lord, he is chosen not to be released, not to sign a paper saying that he wouldn't preach, that if they let him out, he would go right back and preach again, you know. And so, Lord, we just want to pray a blessing on him, Lord. I'm not concerned for him, Lord, in a way that he's not eating or he's suffering. I'm not concerned in that way. I'm more wanting his life, Lord, to shine for you, Lord. I want his example, Lord, to resonate something beautiful within our hearts, Lord, so that we would rise up, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, when the time comes and when the opportunities come, Lord, that our consciences and our convictions, Lord, would direct our steps, Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So we honor and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that's that actually is interesting, because I want one of my scriptures this morning is from Philippians. So I'm going to be bouncing around this morning. I hope it's a little bit like a spring. I want to bring some things that sort of just water you. You know, I want to just water you this morning and then have you kind of take that further in your own life and just allow that to minister to you. But I just want to water you with a few things. And so the scripture I'm going to read after Ecclesiastes, I'll go over to Philippians. And Philippians was written while Paul was in prison. So we have a brother. We have one of the prison writings in Philippians. So in Ecclesiastes, just a couple of things that struck me as I was reading them. He says in chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under the sun during COVID. No, that's not what it says. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I tell you, that jumps out at me, you know. He's looking. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under the heavens, under heaven, during their few days of their lives. There we go. I got it out. You know, and I love this verse because I heard a guy say recently, he said, you know, we're just, all of us are just like a kind of a, you know, that we're in a place where the next bend could be where our expiry date is, you know? And I remember being in Argentina many, many years ago and traveling down this road outside of Mendoza, Argentina, and we're driving down this beautiful country road and I'm straining to look ahead. I'm straining to look ahead at the road and just, and the curves that were up ahead, and I'm just looking ahead and the thought in my heart is, as the Lord was, and this is important because I told you I would water some things over you this morning. It's important because these things are only important with the Lord with us, you know, and since I, you know, like we are privileged to do our lives with Jesus, to have life with Jesus, to have him in our lives in every area and every part of our lives. So I'm going down this road and I'm straining, looking ahead, wondering what lies around the next corner for my life. And I was just I was still a teenager at that point, and wondering, Lord, what roads have you got for me to travel? And then after my heart attack, I've never lived the same since. It absolutely, I think it's good for everybody to have a little bit of a something, you know, that jars them into the reality that this is a short run, that this is a very short run. And so the Solomon's saying, he says, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Doesn't that put it in perspective? What are we doing with the under heaven with the few days of our lives? And then I love this over in, again, chapter 2, verse 25. It says, without him, and this is so beautiful. It says, without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Without him, who can eat? You know, there's a scripture that says that it's better to have a plate of vegetables where love is than a fattened calf where there's strife and hatred. Isn't that the powerful verse, you know? And this is similar in the sense that it says, for without him, who can eat? Who can find enjoyment? What taste is there in life without him? What taste is there? You know, I know most people are colorblind, you know? Before we come to faith, we're colorblind. Before we come to know him, we don't see colors. And in fact, I know that heaven, those that have had the honor to sort of have a little heavenly visitation, you know, have seen colors that are indescribable. And, you know, but anyway, life takes on meaning with him. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth. You know, got to read Ecclesiastes because it's really interesting. It's talking about working really, really hard and then leaving it all to somebody else. You know, it's brilliant the way he presents this, you know. So if all we're doing is working really, really hard to leave something to someone else, we have missed it. We have missed the boat. We have missed the boat. And so without him, who can eat or who can find enjoyment? But I tell you, with him. We're going to talk more about with him in a minute. But now turn to Philippians with me. We'll go all the way to Philippians. I just want to get these scriptures out, and then I'm going to preach for a few minutes on some of these things. So this is familiar scripture in Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now listen to this. This is a very important scripture. Because many of us, you know, Barb, if you're there, we love you. And Barb, I'm talking about Barb Narraway for a moment. And we love you. But I did have to chuckle when Val made a little mistake on the prayer request, you know. And that I thought that was a little bit funny because You know, I said that, you know, in an aging congregation, as we get older, we're going to have more parts to remember, you know, as we pray for one another, there's going to be, you know, so it was the knee and not the hip, just FYI, okay, the knee and not the hip, but Lord, bless her hip too. So maybe you got more than you bargained for there in terms of prayer, but it says, you know, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And we were taken hold of at a certain time. At a certain time, the pursuit of God was so strong upon our lives that we responded. We couldn't. It was irresistible grace. You know, it was a time where we just responded to him and he laid hold of us. And we some people know the exact time, the exact moment, other people don't. And I love this. My mom used to almost treat people like Christians and talk to them like they were believers. And pretty soon they were believers and they couldn't necessarily tell exactly at what point that, you know, they crossed that line. But so that's not what we're saying here, what Paul is saying here, that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And so you can think of it like in the book of Esther, where Esther said, I've come into the kingdom, or Mordecai, who is it that said that to her? Mordecai? You know, could it not be Mordecai? That you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I love that scripture. Well, we, brothers and sisters, Keith, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I remember prophesying to Stan Crookall well into his 90s. He was sitting here, and I loved it because I felt, Lord, I had prayed the night before and got some words for people, and I said to Stan, I said, the Lord is not finished with you. And I said some other words to him, and I remember visiting him at the veterans' home, and he would remember that word. He never remembered it was me. They gave it to him, you know? And that's not the important part. It was that he remembered that he had purpose and the Lord was not finished with him and had a, and you know that Stan Crookall went home to be with the Lord praying just a very short time ago. He was praying when he went home to be with Jesus. What a great way to go, isn't it? My goodness. I think falling asleep during a sermon is a great way to go too. You know, I tell you, you'd have the most beautiful sleep. Eh? Haven't you ever thought that? If no one was looking, you could just close your eyes and just sort of, you would just have the most beautiful sleep, but you're too embarrassed, you know, to do that. So I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Now, if I'm going to forget some things to say, so I'm going to sprinkle them in as I go along. But right here, some of our forgetfulness has to be about the things that have occurred between us and other people, the things that have caused a bitterness, a strain, a separation, whatever you want to call it. Those things need to be forgotten by actually, you know, making those things, changing those things by our heart's willingness to forgive. You know, the Bible says, as much as lies within us, live at peace with all men. Now, we can't control what other people, you know, I've been getting into this rap singer this week. Anyway, that's another story. But he's got a line in his song where he says, you know, I'm offended that you're offended that I'm offended. You know, or something along those lines, you know, and there's so much that we carry. That's why you've heard me say many times that we have to pay attention to these hearts. They become the landing pad for so many things. And we need to take those things out of our hearts. The Bible says, you know, I love it. And I learned this many years ago that it's, there's a difference between forgiving with our tongues and our mouths and forgiving with our hearts. The Bible talks about releasing a brother or sister from our hearts, from the deepest place of our lives. We need to release them so that they're not there. And the poison that we're drinking that's not killing them is killing us, you know, but it's released and those poisons can be released from our lives. So forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Now, this is important. I want to repeat that again. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Okay? And I'm going to couple this with another scripture in Luke, and that'll be my final scripture. But it's really important. It's really important. So he began a good work, and we are in the kingdom at such a time as this. And Paul says that we press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love it. I look at people sometimes and I see things, you know, like I do. I'm not kidding you. And I don't know how to describe this exactly, but I see that there's an unfinishedness to their life. And that's and that it's actually exciting. That there's a a place that God wants to finish something. He wants to do something, and he wants them to lay hold of something for which he laid hold of them. And I'm going to talk about an assignment that God has for many of us, hopefully for all of us. But he has an assignment to help people cross the finish line. Okay, remember that. He's got an assignment for us to help people cross the finish line. And I tell you, there are people that are going to, don't ever write anybody off. Don't ever do it. One of the brothers, I heard that he fell into an immorality many, many years ago. There was an immoral thing that happened. And I heard it in my mind. And in my mind, something clicked off. And it said, first of all, it said this, we won't hear from him anymore. Click. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. And I was so glad years later to hear that there was a church in the United States, in the south of the States, that heard God say that you will not go any higher, any further as a congregation until you restore this brother, until you pursue this brother and restore him. And he finished the race really, really well. Some of you would know about his name, but he finished the race really, really, really well. And I love that. I love that because it doesn't matter. Here it is. So there was a runner, and I had all the information. I'll send it out in my email. I think, Bob, you might have shown a clip, but this was in Barcelona, Spain, during the Olympics back in the early, I think, the 1980s. And one of the runners was running, and he pulled a hamstring, and there's a video of him actually collapsing on the track. And then if you pan this, you know, the audience, the bleachers, you can see the father, his father coming down out of the bleachers and onto the field and helping his son up and walking with him all the way to the finish line. And you know, by the time he got to the finish line, everybody in the stands were standing and just, you can imagine just the eruption of sound and cheering on that took place. Isn't that exciting? You know, it's kind of like the landowner, you know, who gave the people the same amount of money. This bugs so many people, you know, like that you'd work all day and you'd get a certain amount. And then the guy that came in at the end of the day got the exact same amount, you know, and, you know, that bugs people to no end. But, you know, that scripture says, like, is it not my prerogative to be, you know, who are you? And I'm paraphrasing, but it's beautiful. There's translations that say it like this that are so beautiful that who are you to judge my generosity? Who are you? If I decide to be generous, who are you to question my generosity? And who are we to question if he wants people to cross that finish line victoriously, even though their hamstrings gave out, you know? Even though they did things they should never have done. So you and I are going to help some people cross the finish line. God is going to use you and he's going to use me to help people finish the race well. Heaven's going to be filled with people who finish the race really, really well. Okay, so that's Philippians. Now, one more scripture, Luke. Remember the last verse I read in Philippians said this. It says, it said, verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Okay, so all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. That's a beautiful scripture, and views are important in life, you know. They're really important. In fact, Paul talks about in Romans, he says, in view of God's mercy, you know. There are incredible views. I got to throw this in because it just sounds good. Listen to this. I was visiting with Casahoon, having coffee with him, and he comes out with some really good ones. And, you know, I've been encouraging people to get out of Dodge, you know, like to get out of the house, to get some fresh air, to do, you know, get some exercise, do something. So he says to me, he says, he's walking every day, but his wife, not so much. And so he says, but we go car walking together. That's brilliant. Think about it. Car walking. Okay, this is now I'm in Luke chapter 8. This is the final scripture. And it's the parable of the seed, the sower and the seed. Remember this? So it starts in 11. It says, those along the path, you know, they were the ones who hear. And then the devil comes along and he steals the word from their hearts so they do not believe and are saved. Verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Now, here's another one I just want to sprinkle on you for a minute. One of the most powerful prayers that you can pray is the prayer of surrender. I am convinced that it's not the great preaching that you hear. It's not, you know, the great, you know, things that you read that will affect your life and transform, be as transformative as the prayer of surrender. I have seen this over and over and over again throughout decades of my Christian life. In many, many lives, I have seen one prayer of surrender begin to shift and change everything. One prayer of surrender. One couple whose marriage was on the rock got down on their knees in a prayer of surrender, and it changed everything. They went on to become marriage counselors, Christian marriage counselors. I mean, the prayer of surrender. I love that. Man, I love stories. In a hotel room, they got down on their knees and they surrendered to Jesus. That's what they did. That prayer of surrender, you know, paved the way to all kinds of things. So that's just, I wanted to make sure I said that. They believe for a while, but the time of testing, they will fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but they go on their way. Listen to this. They are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Remember Paul talking about maturity? And so here it says they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. What are we doing with the few days that we have under heaven? Are we living with worries, riches, and pleasures, or the pursuit of worries, riches, and pleasures? And then it goes on to say, and they do not mature, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So I had about 10 messages this morning, but I thought I would just preach one. And I would make it just so it was like some sprinkling that went on. But part of the heart of this message was about persevering. Paul talks about pressing on. And I want to talk to you because we have walked a long time. The road, you know, sometimes has gotten, you know, a little long, you know, and some of us have become weary along the way. And perseverance is one of the marks of the believers right up to the end. You know, it says in Revelation that they that persevere, they who endure to the end will be saved. So there's this thing, and I believe it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit that he in us is forward moving. There's a movement of the Spirit that is actually pressing us into these things, so that it's not a matter of us just pulling up our bootstraps and trying to do Christianity better, trying to do better at this, even trying to persevere better, but it's by the power of the Spirit that we do it all, that we persevere. I have the habit of putting on the armor of God, and I hope some of you are doing that as well, because one of my favorite pieces of the armor of God are the shoes of the gospel shoes of peace. There we go. The gospel shoes of peace. And I love this, because Christianity, and that we're, a lot of us are at this point right now where we will not do Christianity without his power or without his presence. We'll not go forward. We're committed to staying on our faces. We're committed to staying in a place where his power can come. Remember, he said, don't leave this place until you're endued with power and from on high. And then you'll be my witnesses. And we can accomplish a whole lot more in the spirit than we can in the flesh. Okay, let me just finish off on this. This is good. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come can see the light. Okay, this is, now you're going to get just a few nuggets and I'll be done, okay? So I wanted to get the scripture out, and some of the scripture will make sense in light of some of the nuggets. So I'm just going to fly through a few. I'm not going to give them all to you. We'll save some for another time. Yeah, in these few days that we've had on this planet, I've been able to see a few things over these few days. So it's like, it's a little bit like a marathon. You know, we've run a marathon. I started my marathon race when I was 17 years old, you know, probably started before that. But as a believer, as a Christian, it started when I was about 17 years old. And the marathon run has taken me a lot of places, and I've been able to see a lot of things. But over the course of decades, I have never found anything more beautiful than the church, Nothing more beautiful than the church. Now, when I say that, you've got to understand what I'm saying here, because I'm not talking about a church just made up of people. I'm talking about a church made up of people where their head is Jesus, where Jesus is the head of his people, and his presence is central to everything they do and all that they are. The functioning of their lives depends on his presence. It depends on him being central in their lives. And so I visited these places, and I've not seen anything better. Nothing better than the little Mennonite church in Argentina during a revival that was going on there, and landing in this little church where my father-in-law's brother would have been the pastor had he not died on the ship on his way to Argentina. But with his young wife and children, his young wife and children went on to minister and to be part of that church. But when we visited that church, they were experiencing the sweetest move of God, one of the sweetest that I've ever seen in my life. You know, I have a picture in my mind, and it's so real, is what happened when we were praying with people, that little children were going out under the power of the Spirit. There was just a sweet, sweet, powerful move of the Holy Spirit going on in that place. And so I want to commend you all, and I want to read this. I want to commend you all for your faithfulness to this community, and exhort you to stay connected to the body. Now, this is really important because over the years, Church of the Way started way back in the early 70s and has seen many hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people. And I don't think I'd even exaggerate if I said that, you know, that had come through the doors and gone out the doors of the church over the course of years. So I'm not talking about that, just the one particular church, although I am addressing West Ottawa this morning and saying to West Ottawa, I commend you for your faithfulness to this community. But I want to go on a step further and exhort you to always stay connected to his body. You know, we've had people leave us and go on. And my heart, you know, it, when my heart grieves? My heart grieves when people choose the world. My heart grieves when they choose the world, but my heart doesn't grieve. And I'll say this because many of you don't know, or some of you know maybe, that the Josses have moved on. It's been a few months now, but they've aligned themselves with friends of theirs who are pastoring a church, and they have children the same ages. And so our hearts cannot but rejoice, you know. So I want to say, no matter where you go in as a Christian, stay connected to his body. Romans 12 says this: For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. I can remember being in Montreal around hundreds. I think there was over 1,000 Chinese believers that were at that conference in Montreal, and my heart was so happy. You know, it was so happy because these were my brothers and sisters, you know, part of his body. And there's a connectedness. We are connected to a body. So again, I'm bouncing around. I don't know where you want to land with all that, but take away the best parts of whatever the Lord will speak to you. But don't choose the world over his church. Don't choose pleasures or riches or pursuits, you know, at the expense of his church, at the expense of choosing the church. There was a brother, you know, he got a promotion. You've heard me tell the story, and it was in another place, and he was part of the eldership in a particular church, and God was really using him there, and he was really appreciated and well functioning in the body. And when he got this job promotion in another city, meaning more money and, you know, travel, he prayed, and the Lord said, "I lose in the deal. I lose in the deal." And so he stayed. He didn't move. So, oh my goodness. Highlights of the past year. I had a whole lot of those. I wanted to touch on a couple because I wanted, 2020 was a very, very interesting year. And But I'll remember it for all the right reasons, and I'll just give you a few of mine, okay? And here they are. Two grandchildren born in 2020. And the beautiful thing about this is that one of them wasn't to be born until 2021. So I found that interesting. We have two grandchildren that were born in the year that they weren't initially said that they told that they would be born in. So anyway, I find that interesting and beautiful at the same time. Tears and the softening of my heart. That was a year where I can remember right here in this room during some of the global gatherings, just my heart just actually a breaking and tears. And I don't cry easily. I've told you that before, but when I cry, I melt them because I like to cry. You know, I think that there's something beautiful about tears but it was a time of softening. Meeting outside was a joy, wasn't it? I mean, seeing those airplanes come by, my grandchildren running on the lawn out there and seeing the planes fly by while they're doing church. I hope they remember that when they're older, you know, seeing with my own eyes the answer to Jesus' prayer of John 17, both in the global gathering, and there's a great story about that I won't talk about, but I was so touched by that story of people who were not walking together beginning to walk together. And then I was touched by a story at Regina Towers where two ladies who hadn't talked to each other for a long time didn't even remember why they were mad at each other. It was so beautiful. And they reconciled and they, you know, determined that they're going to walk together again, you know. So these are beautiful things. So I'll remember that. I'll remember hanging out with people on Zoom and the people that we've gotten to hang with, you know, one another, but also with great people, you know, people of faith, you know, prophetic people, you know, just wonderful people. And I'll remember that. And I remember walking one time, and I've told you this, but I got to tell you again, because one of the things about pressing on, moving forward, and forgetting those things that lie behind is that we can't be about those that just are doing what the world does, you know, judging one another or holding resentment towards one another or just, you know, being upset with one another. I had this thought this week, and it's a beautiful thought. There's a phrase, it's not mine, but that God offends our minds to reveal our hearts. That's a beautiful thing. That's a Mike Bickle saying. He offends our minds to reveal our hearts. But I made a Chuck Balak one, and this is it, because that one applies to me a lot. And it was that God offends our minds to make us intercessors. That's you can quote me on that one. He offends our minds to make us intercessors. Because if we will align ourselves with the intercessor and not the accuser of the brethren, then we will begin to pray for that person. Well, first of all, say, Lord, I'm sorry for the judgment that filled my heart just now, you know, towards Marvin. No, I'm just kidding. I was praying for Marvin the other day. I had such a beautiful prayer walk, and I'm praying for Marvin, and I'm looking, Lord, what? How do I pray? You know, and the word sweetness came to me, you know. And so anyway, I don't know, Marvin, if that, you know, you're just a sweet guy. We love you. But you know, God will, things will offend us, and they can turn us into intercessors. And they can help us to strengthen the body and not weaken it. So take that. That's for free. So hanging out with the prophets. Okay, that's what I wanted to say, because I was walking and I got this thought. And I love thoughts. It was about the prophets. And I don't know if the conversations had begun yet about people questioning the prophets. They, you know, whether they missed it or not, or whether they, you know, were inaccurate or whatever. But I just heard just in my heart, and it was so beautiful. It was that these are my friends. These are my friends. And I just love that so much. That just warmed my heart. These are my friends. Now, that was the Lord saying, these are my friends. And I want to give you a couple of prophetic words, and you may have heard these, but really quick, I'm almost done, but this is just a little bit of sprinkling here. From the prophets who are his friends, Mario Murillo, I heard him say this just recently. He said, about the Lord, he said, you did not punish us by putting us at this moment in history. You did not punish us by putting us in this moment, at this moment of history. You've blessed us. You've honored us. You have blessed us. You have honored us by putting us at this point, at this moment in history. And Jonathan Cahn said this, and this was a prophetic, part of a prophetic word that he gave to the president of the United States. And I think, through the word, it talks to believers. And he says, and if the darkness must come, whether by persecution or disorder or disintegration or apostasy, do not fear, for God is still on the throne, and the darkness cannot overcome the light, but only magnify it. And if the darkness should grow darker, then it's time for the lights of God to shine even brighter. For it is no longer the time of the candle in the day. It is time for the candle in the night. We are now the candle in the night that shines against the darkness and lights up the night, the world, with its radiance. Okay. Oh, I want to give you so much more, but I'm not going to. But summing up 2020, part of 2020, I want to sum up by this song. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step, you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. God, you are faithful. That's probably a good place to end. Let me just see if there's just one more thing here. The prayer of surrender was where I wanted to conclude. Larry, I want to commend you again. Larry, I want to commend you for persevering. I talked to a friend of mine. Casahun, some of you know him, and he spent 2 months in Ethiopia. They went home to their home country and they had a beautiful time. But coming back, they had to isolate for 2 weeks. And he said it was the most difficult thing he's ever done in his life. In fact, I heard that even the lockdowns are like each day is like smoking 17 cigarettes. Like I read that somewhere, like, you know, it's equivalent, like what it can do to you. Some of these things that are, you've read some of these things. I'm not making them up. I mean, it's been hard on people. And he said it was the hardest thing. He couldn't go outside. I mean, he doesn't live in the country, so they didn't really even have hardly a backyard, and so he was inside 2 weeks locked in, and it was very, very difficult for him. And Larry, again, I just want to commend you. I can't see you on here. I just see a few faces, but I think you're probably on. And I've told you this before, but I want to say as a community, we're really proud of you. We're really proud of how you're persevering and how you've come through this. And I see my dear Doreen there too. Doreen, I'm just speaking up for a moment. Doreen, I just want to say to you too, that you are loved. You are loved. And your family is a picture of just of the love of God. You know, they just being with your family and the glow upon her face. I remember we saw her through the window as we visited when she learned that she was going to be moving with Jim and Lee. Just that glow, and it has never left. So it's so beautiful. Let me just end there with a reminder again for the prayer of surrender, because this message, you know, even if you liked it, even if you liked some of the sprinkling, I mean, everyone likes stories, right? I love stories. What stories do to me is they stretch me to a point I never go back quite the same again. When those two ladies reconciled, you know, they couldn't remember why they were angry with one another. Most of us know why we're angry with the other person. So get over it, you know, forgive them and let's move on again. Let's do this kingdom stuff right and let the world, you know, get upset or cancel people or get offended. But as the church, let's be those intercessors, you know, those ones that whose hearts are offended by one another, but then we turn into intercessors, you know, and we just begin to pray for them. How strong we would be. You know, how strong we would be, how strong we would be. So pray with me the prayer of surrender. Lord, we surrender. If you want to just lift your hands, you know, that like they do in the movies when somebody's holding a gun to them, you know, they lift up their hands and they say, I surrender. Well, Lord, we want to surrender to you. There's no better one and no better place to come than to you and to surrender. Lord, it hasn't been easy. Every single one on Zoom here and every single one in the auditorium here could tell stories. And they would be bittersweet. There would be the sweetness stories, some of the ones I told this morning, but there would be bitter ones as well, Lord. I told some of those too, Lord, like the lockdowns or the isolation and the feeling of just how I remember with Casahun, it was so hard. But Lord, he surrendered to you. And I love what you're doing in his life. And I love what you're doing in my brothers and sisters right here, right now. We surrender to you, Jesus. We surrender to you. We will forgive, Lord. We will forgive those that have offended us, Lord. Those that have spoken ill of us, Lord. Enemies or family, Lord. We will forgive. But we don't do any of this in our own strength. None of it. None of it. Holy Spirit, we are so dependent on you. Come and fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, Lord. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, Lord. Equip us, Lord. Equip us. Let those gifts that Graham keeps bringing us back to, let those operate, God. Let them operate, Lord. Let us not see with natural eyes, but with spiritual eyes, Lord. Turn each of us into an intercessor, Lord. Turn each of us into an evangelist, Lord. It'll look different for everyone, but it'll look like love. It'll look like your body getting bigger and bigger, growing and growing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.